97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All my predictions on the Big Beautiful Bill have been wrong up until this point, but I do think that they're still up against it. You have Chip Roy as a holdout, and then a couple others. Jason Smith, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. Look, that is the Tax Writing Committee. He played a huge role in crafting this legislation, getting it through the House, and passing it to the Senate. He was on Fox earlier today. Is it going to pass this week? Look, they still want this passed in the House in the next couple of days so the president can sign it by Friday.
We definitely will. This is a process. We knew that this was going to be a process because it's a huge, historic piece of legislation, and you have to carefully thread the needle, and that's what we're going to do. What we're voting on right now, as you see on the board, is an amendment to the overall rule, and then the next vote is the rule that we'll be voting on, but we'll have the votes and pass it.
So yesterday, Chip Roy said this, and he's one of the holdouts right now.
This is the Senate wanting to try to save some for their home states, like Senator Murkowski for Alaska, trying to get giveaways to perpetuate the Medicaid money laundering scam in Alaska. It may not be today, it may not be this week, but we're going to deliver on the tax cuts, spending cuts, and the border funding necessary to save this country.
So he has optimism on those three points. But look, all this is grouped together, and he doesn't like what happened in the Senate.
This is deals that was cut with Republicans in order to try to get this bill through the Senate. And it is going to undermine the good things we did in the House to deliver on the president's agenda.
All right.
The president wants the tax cuts. He wanted the Green New Scam terminated. We need it all. And I think we're going to have some more work to do after this week to get this done.
All right. David Strom from HotAir.com is with us this afternoon. Chip Roy sounding like, no, this is not going to get to the president's desk. David, do you think that this will get to the president's desk by the 4th of July? Jason Smith is very confident. I didn't think they'd get it through the Senate. They got it through the Senate. So I've been wrong about a lot of these things leading up to this point.
You're going to put me on the spot, aren't you?
Well, I'm putting everyone on the spot. I mean, right now it's just a gut check. We don't know. I mean, that, you know, one of the frustrations I have is all this wrangling, all this stuff behind the scenes. Nobody, even if they voted on it in the Senate, they didn't read the whole damn thing. They don't know all the implications. There's no way you can convince me of that. And the House members are just trying to get something across the line. Now, I think it does indicate that Trump's got a pretty good grip on these guys. He had people over to the White House. He was, you know, doing some backdoor pressure here this afternoon, but I don't know what's going to happen, because you put that deadline on. Trump seemingly, David, a couple of days ago said, well, you know, he seemed to loosen up on the July 4th thing, but they want this victory before Independence Day. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, I think that's true. And here's my prediction. They're going to pass something. Trump is going to declare victory, and it will take us about 5 months to figure out what's in it. And when I say us, that includes everybody, including congressmen. The way these bills are put together, I worked in the Minnesota legislature for a little while, is you've got all these little groups and staffers who basically cut and paste stuff and throw it in the bill. Nobody has any sense at all about the comprehensive parts of it, which is why, you know, in the Senate, people were saying, I don't know how that got in there.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, it really is, whenever you have a big bill, and this is essentially an omnibus bill, nobody's got a clue what's in it. And, you know, it's watching the sausage made with the pig's lip and, you know, the other unappetizing parts.
You can, you know, what I've said from the beginning, and I think you and I have talked about this, you can say and you can have a gut reaction. Elon is calling it, you know, GOP is the porky pig party right now. There's a lot of things in here that I question. I wonder, and I don't even know the answer to what they did with some of the green energy, you know, incentives, because I was told that they put some of that stuff back in that Republicans in the House did not want in. But what happens in a situation like this is you have to, especially in this particular case, you got to pass something, get something across the finish line, or everyone's taxes go up. So
No, that's 100% right. And if I were a congressman, I would sit down, have a long drink with Thomas Massey and Chip Roy, and basically tell them, I'm 100% with you. I agree with everything you say, but I'm going to vote for the bill because the alternative is worse. The alternative is massive tax increases. And I'll tell you, the one place where Elon Musk is wrong is that You know, it is true that the deficit is going to go up, but most of the increase in the deficit is just the expansion of the tax cuts, and 90% of
It's the Washington math, right? Yeah, I pointed this out yesterday in the New York Times. They have this big graph of where all the spending occurs. And the line goes all the way across the page, and it's simply on extending the tax cuts. So that's just what happens with Washington. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid, rather, because what happens is, and this is what's frustrating, sometimes what they do is they try to say, look, we're going to go back to the 2020 spending levels. In this case, they're not even doing that. They're still increasing the spending for Medicaid. They're just, in theory, no matter, you know, it depends on what the final version is here, they're slowing the growth from 5% to 2%. So the money is still increasing when it comes to Medicaid. They're just slowing the growth, and they're trying to put work requirements on some of this stuff as well, which I don't think is irresponsible. Now, as you probably know, we have a United States Senator here in Josh Hawley, who has been very vocal about the Medicaid situation. He's concerned about rural hospitals in Missouri. You had a couple other lawmakers. I guess Lisa Murkowski was certainly concerned about that as well. And that's part of the reason that the Senate, you know, changed some things. But they're still increasing the spending.
Yeah, I mean, almost everything we hear from everybody is political spin. You know, now, the rural hospitals, that's a real issue because it just sort of boils down to population density. So if you don't have enough people, the number of hospitals that you have per person goes up because you're not serving, you know, 10 square miles, you're serving 100 square miles. And so you're just going to, and still fewer people. But, you know, when you look overall, the big cuts that they're making there all have to do with cutting out illegal immigrants and cutting off the 35-year-old men in mom and dad's basements. And, you know, we can tweak other things to make sure that we're not cutting off basic services. But, you know, 90% of what you hear is political spin. If Joe Biden had put this bill forward, Democrats would be, you know, screaming this is the best thing since sliced bread, and Republicans would be all against it.
One of the things I think that gets frustrating to me, I remember having conversations with Paul Ryan about this back when he was, you know, the House Ways and Means Committee. Why can't we ever get back to, you know, this is what I think a lot of people are thinking out loud. All right, let's extend the tax cuts. Let's not do an omnibus bill. Let's just focus on that. Let's not worry about this other stuff right now. But that's not how Washington works, unfortunately. And that's where you get all this controversy. Because if, let's say, if you're just extending the tax cuts, which I think is possible, you could introduce legislation to just do that. You might even have Democrats that come over on board, but they're going to vote party line because of all this other nonsense and because the midterms are 18 months away.
Yeah, I mean, there's something called regular order, which, you know, never happens anymore. But the way that Congress is supposed to work is they're supposed to have a series of appropriations bills, you know, separate bills for separate things. And that is almost never happening in Washington anymore.
It used to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the way that it is supposed to work. And, you know, to bash Trump a little bit, we shouldn't have one big, beautiful bill. We should have a series of bills that are manageable, that people can understand. But, you know, again,
that takes time, right? That takes time. And then that drags it out. And then you get to the political calculations of, oh, my, you know, are we getting too close to election year? And then when election year comes around, everyone wants to be really, really cautious. Look, Trump's already threatening Tom Massie to primary him. And by the way, I can understand Chip Roy and some of the other, you know, conservatives in Congress being concerned about some of this. Tom Massie's lost me completely because I don't even know why he's a Republican, period, at this point.
Well, you know, I mean, Massie is Massie. He's a party of one. And I've known a lot of mavericks like Massie. My wife works for one here in Minnesota. And, you know, they have a North Star that is very much their North Star, and doesn't, you know, they're not team players.
Yeah, he doesn't waver at all, though. Yeah, he's very consistent, I think I would say that. But which is why I like Chip Roy, because Chip Roy takes a stand, and he certainly took a stand in some of the, you know, if you go back to Kevin McCarthy in the speaker's race, he comes out sometimes, I think, as a voice of reason, and it'll be interesting. If he's a yes on this, we're certainly going to want to know why he's a yes on this, and he'll have to explain it. Hey, while I have you here, David Strom from Minnesota, you mentioned Minnesota. I was off a couple of weeks ago. You know, what happens with a lot of the big stories, I'm even going to ask my friend John Ziegler about this later this afternoon, because there's questions about why they're not really rebuilding the Palisades very, you know, quickly in the aftermath of all the wildfires. So we get all that coverage earlier. A couple of weeks ago, you had the terrible, I would just call them assassinations. I know that your wife, as you indicated, works in the legislature. Has there been any new additional information on those shootings from a few weeks ago or not? Because we certainly don't get it here in Missouri.
Yeah, I was asking my wife about this because I pay more attention to the national news than the local news. And I was telling her, it disappeared. She said, well, you know, there's stuff in the local papers. And the problem is that, as you would expect, the guy was not politically motivated. He was a loser and a nut. And, you know, he's one of these guys who always wanted to be important. He never was, you know, even, you know, the things you heard about him working for Tim Walz. Well, that just turned out to be he was a volunteer on a state committee, which is all about a prestige thing. You know, he's a guy who volunteered. So it disappeared because it didn't fit a narrative. Everyone wanted to, you know, put the blame on someone else, when it turned out, as it usually does, that the guy just was a nutcase. And
well, we have a lot of those, right? We had one in Idaho this week, unfortunately. They're still out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're a country of 330 million people. And even if it's 0.01% of people who are, you know, just totally schizo nuts, that winds up being a lot
still,
of people.
That's still a number. There's no doubt. David Strom, have a great Independence Day. Always appreciate having you on here, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.